May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We've all been there. We've been to a cemetery. We've been there to mark the passing of a family member or a friend. We've shed a tear. We've expressed our condolences and sympathy to grieving families and friends. And we've left cemeteries, in many cases, never to return again to the final resting place of that person. Often we've heard the words of Jesus read at the cemetery, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." This verse ends with Jesus asking, "Do you believe this?" This morning, I invite each one of you to consider answering Jesus' question. Do you believe this? Pastor Marcella has chosen "Enter the Story" as a worship theme for Lent. And next week, she will lead you into entering the story of Palm Sunday and the Last Supper. Today I invite you to enter the story of Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. Let's look at this story from three perspectives: the story of Lazarus' family and friends, our story, and the story of Jesus. The name Lazarus means "God is my help." The Hebrew word is Eleazar. And as we look at this story, we see that God helps. The purpose of the story is clear. This is the final sign of Jesus in John's Gospel. Previously in the Gospel of John, Jesus performed 6 signs. He had changed the water into wine, healed a crippled man, brought to life a girl who died, raised a young man from the dead, healed a blind man. Now, in his 7th sign, he raises from the dead a man who had been dead for 4 days. All of these signs were to glorify the Father. And from this point forward in John's Gospel, the story changes from the story of Jesus' work through miracles and through signs to Jesus' work on the cross. Let's look at this story from the perspective of Lazarus' family and the followers of Jesus. Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, is seriously ill. His sisters send word of Lazarus' illness to Jesus, who is a day away from the village of Bethany. And I want to highlight 5 actions of Jesus in this story. First, note that Jesus loved Lazarus. 3 times in this text, Jesus' love for his friend Lazarus is mentioned, and by the sisters and the crowd at Lazarus' tomb when they see Jesus weeping. Secondly, Jesus waited. Upon hearing of Lazarus' illness, Jesus delays coming to Lazarus, arriving after Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus tells his followers that Lazarus' illness isn't a sickness unto death, but that it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. The function of this sign is to glorify God. Twice in these verses, the sentiment is expressed, "If only you had been here, our brother would have lived." But Jesus acts according to his own time and not the urgency of others. His focus is not on the immediate healing of Lazarus, but the ultimate goal of God being glorified. His aim is to reveal the glory of God, its work in him, and thereby to promote the faith of his followers. Third, Jesus promises resurrection. Notice that Jesus says, he doesn't say that he will bring Lazarus back from the dead like he did with the widow of Nain's son and Jairus' daughter. Rather, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. To believe in Jesus means that we have not just hope in the afterlife, but life now, in this moment. We don't need to wait to receive Jesus' power. And if Jesus is life, then those who believe in him will enjoy the confidence and the power over death known by him. This doesn't mean that Jesus' followers will not die a physical death, that we won't suffer and hurt and experience pain, but that life will be ours beyond the grave, and they will not suffer any death in eternity. In Jesus, life is present, and life is found in a person. Mary responds with a degree of faith that she could understand at that moment and says, I believe. Fourth, Jesus wept and was angry. The text says, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was also greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. The Greek word for weeping here describes the snort of a horse in a war or in a race. And for humans, it describes outrage or fury or anger. The gospel writer John says that Jesus was not only outraged, but troubled in spirit. He physically shuddered and shook. But what arouses Jesus' anger here? Why is he so outraged at the deepest level of his being? He's certainly not angry at Martha or Mary or the other mourners. Jesus is angry at death itself and the devastation and the pain that it brings. New Testament scholar Gary Burge says that Jesus' tears are not for Lazarus, whose removal from the grave is imminent and whose life is going to show God's glory. He knows what good surprises are in store for his friend. Jesus' tears should be connected to the anger he is feeling so deeply, the public chaos surrounding him, the loud wailing and the crying in the cemetery scene, and its reminders of death, all the result of sin and death, together produce an outrage in the Son of God as he works to reverse such damage. Unquote. And fifth, Jesus raises Lazarus. Now Jesus approaches the tomb, ready to confront his opponent, death. And once again, John notes that Jesus is deeply troubled. He offers a prayer to God, lifting his hands to heaven and shouts, Lazarus, come out! And with that shout, Jesus seals his own fate at the hands of the religious leaders. Lazarus emerges from the tomb, and Jesus tells the people to unbind him, to release him, to set him free. Now let's look at this from our perspective, our story. God is our help. Several months ago, I was walking to my car after officiating at a graveside service at Pleasant Ridge Cemetery. A woman approached me to express her appreciation for the service. Then, waving her hand across the cemetery, she said, "I know lots of people buried here, probably as many below the ground that are above the ground." Then, this woman recognized her humanity and the reality that someday she will join the others at the cemetery in a place reserved for her family. Someday I will be buried here too. Now the same five actions of Jesus towards Lazarus apply to us as well. But we need to see his actions as both present and future parts of our story. So where do you find yourself in this story? What is God's word for you today? Where can you confess, Eleazar, God is my help? God is my help. Jesus loves me. Scripture says that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And Jesus said, "There is no greater love than giving your life to a friend." Do you believe this? Secondly, God is my help. Jesus' work in my life may be delayed, but it is never denied. How many of us have ever asked or said, "If only he had been here"? How many of us have questioned God's timetable? In the words of an old hymn, "Someday each mystery shall find solution, each troublous question and undimmed reply. The hidden depths that now seem all confusion, my God will open up and clarify." Third, God is my help. Jesus will raise me and bring transforming power to me. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." This gives us hope, not just for our eternity after the grave, but for Jesus' life-transforming power in the moment. When we are united with Christ, we have both the promise of power in the resurrection and the power in the person of Jesus now. Fourth, God is my help. Jesus shares my tears and my anger. Jesus wept. And this was not just a sympathizing tear, but the tears that shake us to the core of our being. He does not will for us those things that trouble and torment, disturb and destroy us. To be human is to feel pain. To be human is to suffer. To be human is to hurt. To want to shake our fist in anger when we or a loved one is hurting. Disease, destruction, and death are part of our lives. And Jesus' heart is broken by the things that break ours. And finally, God is my help. Eleazar, Jesus will raise me and release me from the things that bind me. In the words of the fourth verse of that triumphant Easter hymn by John Wesley, "Christ the Lord is risen today. Soar we now where Christ has led, following our exalted head. Made like him we rise. ours the cross, the grave, the skies. As a result of Jesus' actions, Mary and Martha believed, but not only them. In verse 45 we read, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Now let's look at Jesus' story. It has been noted that Lazarus left the tomb, but the price was Jesus had to enter it. Indeed, the disciples were concerned that following Jesus' last confrontation with the religious leaders, it would be dangerous to return to the area near Jerusalem, saying, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Even Thomas, a disciple, knew the threat and said, speaking up, let us also go, that we may die with him. And we know from the closing verses of John 11 that this was the turning point in the plot of the religious leaders to kill Jesus. While the raising of Lazarus no doubt helped precipitate the parade we celebrate next week as Palm Sunday, it was also the event that ultimately led to Jesus' arrest, trial, crucifixion, and death. Indeed, Lazarus left the tomb, but the price, Jesus had to enter it. I read a story this past week about an event in the late Billy Graham's life. When Billy Graham was 92 years old, he was struggling with Parkinson's disease. And in January, a month before his 93rd birthday, leaders in Charlotte, North Carolina, invited their favorite son, Billy Graham, to a luncheon in his honor. Billy initially hesitated to accept the invitation because of his struggles with Parkinson's disease. But the Charlotte leader said, we don't expect a major address. Just come and let us honor you. So he agreed. After wonderful things were said about him, Dr. Graham stepped to the podium, looked at the crowd and said, I'm reminded today of Albert Einstein, the great physicist who this month has been honored by Time magazine as the man of the century. Einstein was once traveling from Princeton on a train when the conductor came down the aisle, punching the tickets of every passenger. When he came to Einstein, Einstein reached in his vest pocket. He couldn't find his ticket. So he reached in his trouser pockets. It wasn't there. He looked in his briefcase, but couldn't find it. Then he looked in the seat beside him. He still couldn't find it. The conductor said, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it. Einstein nodded appreciatively. The conductor continued down the aisle, punching the tickets. When he was ready to move into the next car, he turned around and saw the great physicist down on his hands and knees, looking under his seat for his ticket. The conductor rushed back and said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. No problem. You don't need a ticket. I'm sure you bought one. Einstein looked at him and said, young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going. Having said that, Billy Graham continued, see the suit I'm wearing? It's a brand new suit. My children and my grandchildren are telling me I've gotten a little slovenly in my old age. I used to be a bit more fastidious, so I went out and bought a new suit for this luncheon and one more occasion. You know what that occasion is? This is the suit in which I'll be buried. But when you hear I'm dead, I don't want you to immediately remember the suit I'm wearing. I want you to remember this. I not only know who I am, I also know where I am going. May your troubles be less, your blessings more, and may nothing but happiness come through your door. Life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. It has no point. Recently, 98-year-old former U.S. President Jimmy Carter returned home from a hospitalization and entered hospice care. Several years ago, when he was diagnosed with cancer, he said, "I obviously prayed about it. I didn't ask God to let me live, but I just asked God to give me a proper attitude toward death. And I found that I was absolutely and completely at ease with death. It didn't really matter to me whether I died or lived." Reflecting on his life, Jimmy Carter has said, "I have but one life and one chance to make it count for something. My faith demands that it count for something, that I do whatever I can, wherever I can, as long as I can, with whatever I have, to make a difference. Like Billy Graham and Jimmy Carter, may each of us have our lives count for something. Let that be our story." Saying, "Eleazar, God is my help." Amen.